And this is the Wayback Machine for traveling through time.
I didn't invent the time machine to win at gambling. I invented the time machine to travel through time.
And now, Technorama Retrorama.
Welcome to Chuck Chat Technorama. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi, coming to you from Appleton, Wisconsin. This is the show to feed your inner geek. We focus on tech, science, and gadgets, and all kinds of other stuff. This is episode number 4 for May 11, 2005. And this show is going to be a little bit different than the rest. Actually, it's going to be a lot different because ever since I started Chuck Chat, I always had this vision in mind that I was going to be chatting with somebody. And well, we've done some of that in the podcaster profiles, and we've had some chit-chat between the girls and me. It really wasn't the vision that I had. Well, finally, I'm happy to say, wow, it's actually 5 months to the day after I launched Chuck Chat on December 11th. 5 months to the day, I have my co-host that I've been wishing for. Well, at least we'll give him a shot. You're on probation. Let me introduce to you Craig Stepp. Welcome, Craig.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate it.
Great. Great to have you here. Craig is going to be joining me for some tech chat, and we've given him some reporter assignments. So I get the dirty deed of the equipment, the editing, the posting, the hosting, the ghosting, and everything else, and Craig just gets to crack off wise ones.
Yes, that's me. That's what I do best.
This show is not powered by any beer or drink of any sort tonight. I forgot to get something to drink, so.
I do have tea here with lemon.
Ooh, is it hot or cold?
It's in the South. We have to have it on ice.
See, the British would knock you silly for that.
I'm sure.
Oh, how can you drink that cold?
However, I did learn how to drink beer warm. I had 5 guy roommates, and I, you know, leaving the beer in the fridge overnight, you could guarantee it was gone. So I had to learn how to drink it out of my closet.
Well, let's jump right into it, Craig. What do you got for me tonight? Let's just throw one out there. Let's see how it goes.
Well, you know, I thought this is one I ran across, and then I ended up I showed up on Slashdot later, but I saw where these guys have taken a car and made a driving simulator out of it, a real car. And at first, when I was reading the description, I was like, that don't sound right. I don't quite understand. And I went and looked. They bought a car for dirt cheap at a junkyard, and no engine or anything, of course, and with no wheels. Has it sitting in a garage and put force feedback on the steering column. They put a sheet over where the windshield goes, and had a projector, and had a laptop there running like NASCAR 3 or 4 or whatever racing game it was.
Did they have the gimbals and everything so it tilts?
I don't know about that, but no, I don't think they went that far. But they took one of those, you know, those Logitech steering wheels that you can get, I don't know, for cheap.
Force
feedback with the pedals and the whole thing. They wired the pedals that were in the car with the force feedback and actuators so that you could, you know, it would get your feedback. And the steering column, they actually hooked the steering wheel up to where you have the rails. It was a Renault, so you had the real steering wheel from the Renault, but in the back end was the actuators to give you the force feedback.
I'll bet the 5.1 surround would be awesome in a car.
It's funny you say that, because they put a speaker right in front of the windshield, so you get the sound in your face effect.
Kind of like they used to do with the movie screens, where the speaker was right behind the screen.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But I thought, and he had step-by-step pictures of him wiring up the brake pedals and putting the steering wheel column on there. At first I was like, you know, it really looks ugly, but that's pretty cool. I'd love to sit in it and do it.
That'd be a good, you know, high school or college project.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
But, you know, I guess to get the real effect, you have to have somebody with some, like from NASCAR, have some rubber and smoke and throw that in your face as you're driving. And a fan.
The airbag goes off.
Yep. Anyway, I thought that was pretty cool. It looks like it took him a while, too, but...
That's a neat one.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Well, my next one isn't as exciting, but it was a close call on technology tonight. I've been, as you and many of the listeners have probably heard, I've been dying for some portable recording device, and I came really close to buying an iRiver a couple weeks ago. Yeah, but
you wimped out.
I wimped out. I did. I spent the money on a mixer that's sitting right here waiting for a few more connectors to go live. But Scott Reynolds, a guy I work with, said, Chuck, you've got an iPod. Why don't you run Linux? You know, far be it from him to suggest Linux for anything. And I said, well, I don't know if it runs on a first-gen machine because I've got one of the original 10-gig. He said, yeah, first, second, and third generation is what it works on. I went,
that's
really?
Right.
So before I left for a meeting tonight, 6 o'clock, I went to Google, looked for it, and I went, oh, looks like it's got to load from Windows. Then I found a Mac loader. It was like Rev 0.3. I'm like, oh, this sounds good. Downloaded that, hooked up the iPod. The only technical challenge was to make sure that it did the show it as a disk on the desktop thing. Mm-hmm. Loaded that up, ran the installer, loaded up in like 2.5 minutes, rebooted, booted up to Linux, because it's still dual boot. I can run the original iPod OS, whatever that's called. It came up, but then I went to record. I grabbed my headset. I was all set. I said, set it to 44.1 sampling rate. Mm-hmm. Said, record from line in. Says, recording is not supported on this device. Okay. Recorded from mic in. Recording is not supported on this device. Crap.
Take a hint.
It's too old. Well, you can still play Space Invaders.
Oh, they got Space Invaders?
They got a couple other good games out there. I went, oh. You know, and I had to buy my wife a fourth-gen machine this fall, too. I can't even borrow hers to do this project.
Nope.
I'm thwarted at every turn.
You know what? You didn't just go get the iRiver. It's got Linux on it.
Yeah, probably.
But I have heard some people installing Linux on their iPods. I guess you're able to use it.
Yeah.
What's it like?
The default interface, they call it Podzilla, looks just like the iPod interface, only instead of the fat font characters, they're skinny font characters. And it doesn't have the power management, so if you leave it on, you could drain your batteries.
Oh,
Yeah, not the best thing. But one of the menu picks, it looks the same. It's like playlists, extras, yada, yada, yada. And the last menu choice is reboot iPod. So I've got it defaulting to boot to the iPod OS.
And how much space does it take up?
You know, I didn't check. Let me see. Is it extra settings? About?
Yeah, about.
Not much. I think it was like 300 meg, if that.
Oh, well, that's...
I think I was at 4.5 gig when I started, and now it's... No, that couldn't be right. 4.8 gig is available. Capacity... I can't do the math that quick in my head, but it's not much. You know, 300-400 meg at most.
Hey, well, 300-400 meg, that's worth Space Invaders.
Need those better games, because haven't got a fourth-generation machine.
Well, actually, you're doing better than my iPod. I was trying to update it using GTK Pod on my Linux box.
Yep.
Well, I was waiting and waiting, and looks like the app kind of froze up. So when I finally got everything freed up, I went to turn on my iPod, and there's nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Didn't boot? Or just no data?
No, it boots. Yeah, I was going to my podcast, and I was like, da-da-da, music, genre. Wait a minute. There's nothing in there. No playlist, no nothing. So the files, I think, are still there, which I think my iTunes DB is toast.
Oh, no.
But as long as the files are there, then Yeah. I will just import them back into iTunes and be happy about it.
Yeah, but your playlists and all that, I've had to rebuild one of those before. It's not the best thing.
No, but I don't know. Collecting all my music again would be worse. So.
Yeah, that's true. You do have backups, don't you?
Oh, yeah, of course. I don't know. I'd actually, to be honest with you, it's hard to back up 38 gigs worth of... I got a 40 gig fourth gen.
Yep.
And, you know, it's kind of hard to back up 38 gigs worth of stuff, you know.
Well, that's what I had to do, too, is you start getting so much music that, mm-hmm. you know, you might as well go buy one of these $99 external hard drives, hook it up, and just copy the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, do a hard drive to hard drive backup, and at least there's some peace of mind in case your primary hard drive goes dead.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, that's funny you mention that, because just today I got one of those little Linksys network storage unit
yep.
where you hook a USB drive up to it. I'm getting ready to put a USB drive on it just for that.
So, you have to let me know how that goes.
Well, I'll tell you what else I'm going to use it for. That little thing runs Linux, and I read where you can set it up to be an iTunes server.
Oh.
So you can put all my music on the hard drive and then share it with all the PCs in the house with iTunes. Without a spare computer, more or less. So
that's not my process. Not to beat the iPod horse, but...
down!
Was it yesterday or today? I saw an article that Apple had applied for a patent on what everybody believes will be a video iPod.
Oh, really?
Is it the video iPod? Oh, I can't remember the
article. You're talking
about
the tablet? The tablet
Macintosh, yeah. That's what it is. Yeah, I'm sorry, the rumor of a video iPod threw me off, because that's been going around for a while. It was the tablet Mac.
Yeah, and the pictures, I think I've seen that before, but it got approved, and I saw that today, and I thought that looked interesting, because it looks like they took the monitor off that... that R2-D2 looking iMac.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Looks like they took the monitor off that and like you could carry it around or something.
They've got sweet displays.
You know what? I would pay good money to walk through Apple's R&D department one time.
Even if it meant signing a non-disclosure, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I bet there's some cool stuff in there.
No camera phones.
Yeah. But that'd be one of the places I'd be interested in walking through.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a neat place to go through.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Yeah. You know, more on the humor side, you know, do you read in Gadget?
Yeah.
Regularly? Did you see the pictures they had up there today?
No, I haven't had a chance to read news today. I was in meetings all day.
Over at Engadget, they were showing this billboard. It was of a huge PSP. And it was like, you know, it had a display showing people playing it, you know, like a big billboard. Well, in the corner of the picture of the big display was a Windows error. Like a memory error or something.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I about fell out of my seat. Oh, that was funny.
Well, anyway. Let's learn a little bit about Craig.
Uh-oh.
Where are you right now? You're in you're in North Carolina, South Carolina.
Actually, I work in North Carolina, but I'm in South Carolina. I'm in Rock Hill.
Now, don't confuse the issue.
Yes, I'm in North Carolina then. Actually, I live near Charlotte.
Okay. And what do you do in real life?
Besides surf the web and... aggregate news. I'm a web developer, so you know, that's I work on our intranet and our external website and whatever projects that they come up with. You know, just I do that all day. Just code.
Mostly, what did you say? PHP.
Yeah, I mostly do PHP. I've tried to stretch out a little bit and learn a little bit of Python, and so that's, you know, coming up on my screen, but I do, of course, JavaScript, HTML, PHP. And when, if you know PHP, then you know Perl mostly, and yeah, stuff like that.
You see, I went the other way. I learned Perl first and then migrated to PHP.
Yeah, and actually, that's a good path too, because you know they're both. You can write your code in about the same way on either one.
Yeah, there's some similarities, but there's some real powerful stuff with each one.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and Perl, you got to be specific with what you want to include. Like if you want to do file stuff, you got to include your file module
and database stuff and graphic mm-hmm. stuff. And that was the thing I liked about PHP is a lot of it was right there and included. If you wanted to do MySQL stuff, you didn't have to go to CPAN and compile a Perl module.
Oh yeah, and I write, you know, CLI scripts with you know, PHP all the time to do stuff instead of Perl like a lot of people do. So
even command line stuff instead of web interface mm-hmm. stuff.
Oh yeah, sure. If you've got Fedora or I think even on the Mac, you can just go to command prompt, and you know if you do, you know, well, if you write a script, you know how you put, you know, the shebang user bin
yep.
Perl or whatever.
Yep.
You can do user bin PHP and write a script just like that today.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done like one or two that way, but I typically if I need some kind of parsing or other, I'll default to Perl on the command line just for who knows what reason, but mm-hmm. I tend to think of PHP more web-based because you know it's included in the tags and it looks HTML-like. Yeah. But
well, you know, but the cool thing about PHP, like you said, everything's right, all right there.
Right.
You have the same functionality that you do with a web app. You can go and talk to other websites. All that stuff's you know right built in. You know.
Oh, that's true.
Pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. It's pretty powerful.
Cool. We'll dig more into your background later.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are skeletons in your closet, too.
No, yeah. Got a couple.
Did you see the guy who made a vegetable oil-cooled computer?
No.
I think this one came across dig.com a couple days ago. It looks really freaky because he took his motherboard and his uh-huh. power supply and all the cards and all the cables. The only thing that's outside is he threw these into an aquarium. It's like a little 10-gallon fish tank and mm-hmm. filled it like 6 inches deep full of vegetable oil.
Okay.
So all his components are, they look like they're underwater, but they're really under oil. Now, it looks strange. He's got like 8 pictures of it from various angles and things. The CD-ROM is out of the case, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't quite gather. It was supposed to be like an oil-cooled computer. But eventually, wouldn't you think the oil would warm up?
Yeah, well.
Or does it dissipate through the glass or something? I don't know.
With a Pentium 60, it would. But I think you could fry eggs on that thing. But I don't know. You know, that's odd. Oil conducts electricity, right?
I don't think so. Apparently not. But the thing that I was wondering is, what do you do when you want to plug your headphone jack into your sound card? You got to stick your hand in that mess.
I never would have thought about that. He just dunked it in there. And
it's all in there. I'll put a link in the show notes. You got to see this thing. It says Mark Leon, I think it's Leon Hart, is taking the shortest route possible to liquid cooling. Throw one motherboard in a fish tank and... Or step one, throw a motherboard in a fish tank. Step two, cover in vegetable oil.
Oh, gosh. Would you like fries with that, sir?
And then there's a guy after my own heart. He probably had a basement full of junk, and the article says that he installed NetBSD on an old Toshiba 486 laptop.
Oh, wow.
Now, that in itself sounds hard enough, but you got to realize this thing had no CD-ROM. Had no network. He did it all through floppy drive and serial port.
Oh, God.
What a glutton for punishment. But, you know, if that's all you got, that's all you got.
It reminds me of installing, like, Windows 3.1. Insert disk 2. Insert disk 3. And especially when you had the 5 1/4 floppies, those were like...
Oh!
Because you had, like, 12 of them or however many there were.
Well, there were 11...
Yeah.
Floppies for Windows for workgroups 3.1.1. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I have them right here.
Actually, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Wait a minute, back up. You have them right there?
They're on my shelf.
Here, let me get them out of my bag. I carried around with me all day.
I think there were 11. There's some missing here. Craig, it's within arm's reach. I'm going to get it and count.
Just in case somebody needs it during the day.
Wait. There's also a DOS 3.3 Tech Ref.
Yeah. I did have a disk set for Windows 95. Like the first, when it first came out, floppies were...
Oh.
You know,
there was like 25 floppies for that set.
It was
Windows 95. I remember we got an early release candidate too, I think, and it was awful.
It was close to 20. If it was, I think it was, I want to say 18.
Yeah,
but you're right. It's up there. It was up there, and I remember, you know, sitting there swapping disks. Oh man, what a pain.
Well, the scary thing about Windows 3.1, and I don't remember too well installing 95, but they'd send you 11 disks, but you didn't use all 11.
Mm-hmm.
But then later, if you wanted to add a printer, you had to go back and find four of them.
Yeah.
Oh, where is it?
Yeah, right. Yeah, try that with the 18 disks with Windows. You know, you need soandso.dll. You know, insert floppy whatever. And I remember my set had the count was off or something in the software as opposed to the disk. So you had like a 3-disk range. It's either on this one, or this one if it asks for disk 5. You know? So it was like a guessing game. Oh, man. I should bill Microsoft for all the time I've wasted through the 90s. Oh.
Yeah, that's true. And it used to seem like a lot of storage back then. It's like 11 disks. Now you copy them to a network drive, and it's like, oh, that took 10 meg.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I got audio files bigger than that these days.
I know, and the first time I read about somebody putting the cabs in Windows and changing the registry to, you know, the search path, I was like, man, that guy's a genius. You know, look at all the time he saved me.
Yeah, or my favorite is when you discovered you could copy the I386 disk or directory off of the CD and put it on the machine. So in that certain case where you didn't have any drivers for your network card,
mm-hmm.
or your CD-ROM was out of whack, you could still load and save and reload and function. They go, please point me to your DLLs. And you go, they're right there on your C drive.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the other thing about installing the old Windows. It would ask for knowing good and well that file, like the DLL you're talking about, is in your Windows or your system directory already.
Yep.
It would ask for your, please insert in D drive. And I put C:\Windows System. It found like 5 files. I go tell it C:\Windows System. Do that a few times and it'd find the files it already had.
Right. Right. It's like, why don't you remember any of this? You got to wonder if Longhorn's going to be any better.
I doubt it.
You heard they did a scorched earth again on the source code.
Oh, what's that?
Apparently they're starting over again.
Oh, you're talking about,
Longhorn.
Really? It's because Tiger came out and they got a lot of new options to add.
Well, that won't work with our current subsystem.
Whoa, Tiger's out. Let's look at it and see what we can steal.
Well, they've scratched a whole bunch of the features that were supposed to make this all revolutionary. By the time they're done, yeah. It's going to be XP Service Pack 3.
I know. The WinFS, and that was the big one that everybody was kind of looking forward to. And
yes and no, but remember how much fun everybody had to had to coax people to get to NTFS?
Yeah.
Oh no, it won't be compatible. I won't be able to read this file system and that one, and how's it going to work on the network, and can I boot safely and get my data? It took forever. I think I still have some people who don't fully believe in NTFS.
And that's just what we need, is to take Microsoft SQL Server and slide it in between the file system and your OS. What a great one.
Isn't that what Oracle tried to do with IFS?
Oh. But, you know, speaking of Microsoft, you know, I don't know all the details, but I did write down that I had a about that article that, you know, Red Hat and Microsoft had a meeting.
Yep.
I wonder what all that's about.
I don't know. But speaking of Red Hat, Michael Dell invested, what was it, $99.5 million in Red Hat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. After I read that, too, and I saw this, I was like, something smells fishy.
There's some weird stuff going on out there.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's funny is Michael Dell would do that, but, you know, when he was in charge of Dell as CEO, you know, they were starting to get into Red Hat early on. It's pre-installing it on servers, and you know, Microsoft shoehorned them out of that, you know, because remember they stopped, maybe not necessarily on the servers, but they started to do workstations or something like that, and they, let's don't do that. So they stopped at the behest of Microsoft, and now it seems like everything's, I don't know, it just seems funny. It seems like everything's shifting towards Red Hat between Dell and Microsoft. You know, it seems like somebody's got to know something. So, I don't know.
Yeah, the next couple months could be big announcements somewhere.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Speaking of announcements,
that was a good segue. Speaking of announcements, since we're getting to the end of the show anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully you won't get this too late, but Geek News Central, show number 64 is coming up on Friday. Big announcement. You wanted to listen to the Geek News Central podcast, you can get that at geeknewscentral.com. Geek News Central is one of the techpodcast.com members, and so is chuckchat.com. Don't forget to stop by. Hey, Craig, it's been great chatting with you.
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed it, man. I had a blast.
You want people to send you email?
Sure.
Do you want to do that, or should we just make a Craig at chuckchat.com? Or at least an alias that forwards.
Actually, I'll tell you what. I've got an email address for you.
Okay.
KeyboardMonkey@gmail.com.
What is that?
It's my spare email address at Gmail.
All right, you heard him, folks. If you want to send Craig email, keyboardmonkey@gmail.com. I'm Chuck at chuckchat.com. The voicemail listener line is 206-222-CHAT or Skype me at chuck.tomasi. I also have a Skype answering machine at chuckchat. Add both of those. One final announcement. That the PubCast 2005 meetup in Minneapolis is still on, but there is a slight name change. It's, I think it's the Midwest Podcaster Meetup. If you're interested, contact me or Tim Elliott, who puts together the Winecast PubCast. Any parting words, Craig?
See ya.
No, it's a binary high five.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The binary high five, 101.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thank you. Bye.